Don't you feel that you could worship all the morning? I do. Hallelujah. Familiar ground to me. I hope it's familiar ground to you. The ground of worship, and the ground of quietness, and the ground where you can shout and then be utterly still in the next minute. You can shout your head off and dance, and then the next moment you're mortified and you descend to the dust and you lie there. This is the kind of life that I know something about. In the private, in the quiet place, and hallelujah, the Lord is wonderful, isn't He? Well, to put those away and use these ones. I want to follow through a word this morning, a word mystery, just the word mystery. And I don't know what you think about current events. Some of you know a little bit about what's happened to the Icelandic banks, and you know what's Gordon Brown has said this week. You know perhaps a little about the subprime stuff in the United States, and I don't know whether you're anxious about it or I don't know if you know much about Russia and that fox, Putin. Fox, that's what I just called him. He's a fox. He has a fox spirit. And I don't know how much you know about that wolf, Mugabe, in, I don't know how much you know about these wicked men in high places. I don't know how much you know about the serpents that are in influence in British Petroleum and Shell and serpent spirits. And you see the nice Shell sign, but behind that sign there's the old serpent working. Everything glitters very much in our world. Everything seems secure, but underneath it all there's a mystery working. And you better be aware of that. And you look at my face, and you look at my balding head, or my bald head, and you look at my nice shirt, and so on and so on and so on, and I'm dressed up this way. But I tell you, there's a mystery working inside of me, and I'm very, very powerful. I'm not saying that for any... I'm just wanting to tell you, beneath everything that you see, there's mystery. And it's time you woke up. It's time you woke up. There's mystery behind every human being. There's mystery behind every corporation. I don't know whether you believe, you see, that there's mystery behind Al-Qaeda. Mysterious spirits working. Whether you believe that there's mystery working over there in Beijing. Did you see anything of the mystery of the subtle pride of face that was demonstrated in what was called the Olympic Games, and everyone went, "Hua." Never seen anything like it. The mystery of wicked coercion of men and women, so that like little automatons they performed according to the instructions. I didn't think it was wonderful. I thought it was the epitome of human pride. That's what I thought of it. I thought it would look rather nice. But I didn't think it was wonderful. I thought it was the epitome of racial pride. We can do it better than anyone else. God hates it. God hates it. The mystery. I don't know how many of you believe in things like the Illuminati. Anyone here ever heard of the Illuminati? Yes? People write all sorts of books about this thing called the Illuminati. This federation of wickedness, men in high places and women too. Why shouldn't they be there as well? All working together corruptly to influence and control. It's incredible, isn't it? Now, everything that I'm saying, I don't think it should shock many of you, but if you turn over with me into a scripture in the second letter of the Thessalonians, see, what comes first, the material or the spiritual? What comes first? Come on, everyone, answer. What comes first, the material or the spiritual? Come on, everybody, say. Spiritual. Good. Why do you say that? Because God is a spirit, and everything came from God. Everything's spirit-based. Behind everything you see, there is that which is of the nature of spirit that is working and holding it in place. Behind everything that you see, you are not your body. You include your body, but once your body goes in the grave, you will continue. You will continue incomplete. You will not cease to exist. You will not be annihilated. And you will go someplace awaiting the resurrection of your body, so that your body will be reunited, so that you will be a whole you again. So as I look at you, behind that lovely face of yours, well garmented, and some of you in your best, you dressed up for the Sunday morning meeting, maybe one or two of you dressed down. That's one of the things that, of course, some young people nowadays, they want to do. They want to dress down just to sort of assert themselves. You see, everyone else wears a tie, so I'm going to wear jeans, and et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, that doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, behind there is the mystery of you. Spirit. The hidden man of the heart. You. Behind every corporation, there's a hidden spirit. Behind Shell, behind BP, behind Petronas, behind what's taking place in Mecca, behind what goes on in the Archbishop of Canterbury's palace in Canterbury, behind what's going on in Rome and the Pope, there are spirits at work. Everything is spirit-based. It's mysterious. And here, in the second letter of the Thessalonians, and we read this in chapter 2. Now, concerning the coming, verse 1, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our being gathered together unto him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to come from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day, that's the day of the Lord, will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed. The son of destruction, who opposes and exhorts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. So don't you think for one minute that Hinduism is going to survive. Don't you think that any religion on the earth is going to survive, because there is going to be a manifestation and an appearing of a being of such magnitude and power that he is going to exhort himself against all so-called gods, all of them, and he's going to take his seat in the temple of God, and he's going to proclaim himself to be God. In a local way, in one nation, 70 years ago, in Europe, did a man do that? In a local nation, one nation, did he raise himself up? Did he have incredible demonic power that when he opened his mouth, he was able to sway intelligent men and women so that they worshipped him? And they called him Lord in their language. Did it happen? What was his name? Hitler. Nearer here. What did he do with those who would not accept his lordship? They got the chop. Hitler was an antichrist. So was Pol Pot, near at hand. So is Mugabe. So was, what was the man's name in Uganda? Right. Learn to read history and the mystery. Life's not a game. Behind things seen, there are the operations of the mystery of the unseen. Some of you don't like anything about martial arts. You don't like anything about kung fu. You don't like anything about a taekwondo. You don't like anything. Why is that? Because some of you believe that underneath martial arts there are spirits working. There's a mystery working, don't you? Why don't you believe the same about the Beatles? You must never think that music is innocuous. You must never think. Everything comes from a spirit base. Why do you think a man like Hitler loved to listen to the music of a man named Wagner? I only have to put on my radio in the car and I hear some music, and I know very well that that music is the music of rage. I wait to the end of the piece, and I know it's Wagner. And now I know why Hitler used to like Wagner. Behind the music, there's a spirit. Music doesn't come from nowhere. Comes out of a human spirit. Comes out of a human spirit that is not isolated in itself. Your spirit is not isolated. You are not some hidden being that is away there on yourself, that you can just please yourself. You are in touch with other powers that you cannot see. And to a lesser or greater degree, they are influencing you. You marry them to some lesser or greater degree. You in your spirit man have power to absorb from other spirits. And if you continue to absorb from other spirits, wrong spirits, those other spirits to a lesser or greater degree will take control of you and will express themselves through you. You are a mystery. And one day, well, we can say this for sure about Hitler. He was a demonized man. He was a man who absorbed into himself the ideas that had been expressed by other German philosophers. And those were excited in him by the music that he listened to. The hatred of the Jew was part of it. The ascendancy of the Germanic people was another part of it. And he embraced all of this. Spirits influenced him. And it was all growing within him until some of them possessed him. And he became a pawn of the devil. That's what he became. Behind the uniform, behind the Heil Hitler, there were spirits. There was worship. There were gods. It's a terrible thing. And one day, there's going to be a global Hitler. That's what Paul is telling us. And he's going to be more powerful than Islam, so don't worry about Islam. And he's going to be more powerful than Hinduism, so don't worry about Hinduism. He's going to be more powerful than Al-Qaeda, so don't worry about Al-Qaeda. He's going to be more powerful than all the global experts in economy. He is going to be the very embodiment of the devil in a man. That's going to happen. And by the way, he will use the computers, and he's going to be the very image of the devil. He's going to be an incarnation, the incarnation. Hitler was an incarnation. Mugabe was an incarnation. The spirit of Antichrist, this mystery. I don't want to major on this particularly, but I want you to get very clear about it. We are moving toward it. It may not happen in my lifetime, but in perhaps the lifetime of some of you young kids sitting there, you young men, 15, 14, 13 years old, might happen in your lifetime. All the technology and all the pride of man is all setting the store out for such a thing to emerge. All right, let's read on a little bit. It says, verse 5, "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he," and this is the important phrase I want you to see, "he shall be revealed." The mystery is going to come out in the open. "He shall be revealed in his time." Verse 7. for the mystery of iniquity or lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he's out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. And this is the first mystery, and I'll say a little more about it. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. In the high places of the government of England, the mystery of iniquity is at work. It is restrained somewhat because there is a power that restrains the madness. Did we read the word restrain several times? Restrain, restrain, restrain. In the high places of corporate affairs, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Beneath everything, there is this mysterious, awful, self-serving, man-hating, God-hating power at work. Listen to what I said. God-hating, man-hating, self-serving. I mentioned the other night, you know, that there's a company in the United States called Lehman Brothers, L-E-H-M-A-N, and they went into receivership, and that's one of the things, one of the dominoes that fell. Millions, billions of money, and so on and so forth. Do you realize that some of the corporate bosses, knowing full well that was happening, paid each of themselves 4 days before it collapsed, they paid themselves a bonus of $200 million each. Self-serving, fellow man-hating. That's those men. Let's tell it what it is. Sheer, utter selfishness. That's what sin is. In high places or low, in kings. You think of this country. Some of you are Indian. And some self-serving British people dragged almost Indians from their country. You say, made them indentured labourers. Self-serving British businessmen. And some of you are Chinese, and though you're straits born, you will know that some of you were brought across here by the greedy colonial lust of the British. Underneath, you see, thank God that along with all this, there is a power that restrains, eh? That God works by His Spirit through grace to restrain the sheer rampant wickedness of demons and men and women. Can anybody here tell me when the mystery of iniquity first began to work? The mystery of lawlessness, where first it appeared on the earth? The mystery. You would have never have known, had you been there, you would never have known that underneath this beautiful being, there was a devil speaking. There was a mystery of iniquity working to slay God, to take this woman, Eve, and strangle the life out of her, and make her a hater of God and a hater of her husband. mystery of iniquity. Beloved, life's not a game. He came in the garden. He was all dressed up. He embodied himself in a creature. The creature looked beautiful. Serpent. Don't imagine it looked like the serpents look now, and you sort of go, oh. I mean, don't want to. How many of you have met up with a few serpents? I've met up with a few serpents. Of course, there was a time when I thought, you know, I believe Mark 16, if you meet a serpent, you know, you'll tread on serpents and all the rest of it, you see. Well, I tell you what, I've been very near a few serpents or two, and I tell you what I did. I didn't tread on them, I ran. But I got out of the way of these old. They're not things that you like, but the serpent in the garden looked so beautiful, but inside was the mystery of iniquity working. Am I making sense? The mystery of iniquity. Thank God that immediately God's restraining, gracious activity was evident. Right? Is that right? Did God speak promise in the face of all that the serpent was done, just so that you don't think that the mystery of iniquity is of such magnitude that it will take over everything? It will not. It never has. It never shall. But God wants you to understand something about the mystery of iniquity. It is awful. The mystery of iniquity. How many of you have heard of a movie called Brokeback Mountain? How many of you have heard of that movie? It is a movie magnifying homosexuality. It was made in Hollywood. Did you not know that the mystery of iniquity works in Hollywood? So that there's an unusual gathering of lesbians and homosexuals there who want to use movies as a form of propaganda for their lifestyle to justify themselves. It's a form of the mystery of iniquity. You see, the mystery of iniquity works. You go down the road there, see the mystery of iniquity. Do you see the way the women, young women, are used as objects of sexual lust in the advertisements? Have you learnt to read the mystery of iniquity so that a woman, all she becomes is a body? It's the mystery of iniquity working. Oh, it looks very pleasant. And she's got a nice garment on, and her hair is like this and that and the other, and it doesn't look so bad. But underneath there is the cheapening of the human blessedness of femininity, and it becomes a mere body for eyeing and lust. The mystery of iniquity working. And I wonder if you've got a part in this. The mystery of iniquity works in you. Have you felt its power? Have you felt its drive? I think of a church like this. Oh, what mysteries are working here? Well, we don't stop with the mystery of iniquity, do we? I mean, if we were to stop there, that would be thoroughly miserable. All right. So, I turn you into the first letter of Timothy. The first letter of Timothy. And it's chapter 3, just over the page. And Paul writes and he says, I hope to come to you soon, verse 14. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14. I hope to come to you soon. But I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. Great, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifest in the flesh. That's God. Vindicated by the Spirit. Seen by angels. Proclaimed among the nations. Believed on in the world. Taken up in glory. Here's a second mystery. A mystery of godliness working. The mystery of God working in people's flesh. Yes, we could say that. Of course, he's really speaking specifically about the mystery of godliness where out of the realm of the Spirit, Christ came and he became embodied. And now there's this mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. I'll ask you a very straight question. What is being manifest in your flesh? What is being manifest in your flesh? Is the mystery of iniquity being manifested in your flesh? You see, you may think from the remarks that I have already made about high places, governmental high places. But you talk about corruption, don't you? Corruption in government, corruption in business. We talk about bribery. We talk about all these things. Is that right? It's the mystery of iniquity being manifested in the flesh. That's what it is. The mystery of iniquity being manifested in people's flesh. People in high places. People in low places. People in business, people in government. Thank God that always there is that of God which restrains it. Have you read anything about the history of the Second World War? Quite remarkable. Just how God stepped in and restrained. He even used the weather. He even used things so that he made people blind. He made Hitler not understand certain things. And Hitler's counselors not understand. God was restraining, you see. Sometimes God prevented storms to allow things. At the moment, I am reading a series of books to do with the year 1776. Can anybody here tell me what happened in 1776? Something that happened that affected every one of us in the room. It was the American Revolution. Where the Americans rose up, a ragtag mob of people, not an army to speak of, and they overcame, it took them about 2 years, they overcame the British king. Remember what his name was? George. He wasn't such a bad man after all, but he did believe in the divine right of kings. And he was a kind of dictator. and he held people under feudal bondage. And so people were not free. The bulk of people were not free. They didn't even have natural human freedoms in the United Kingdom. And he wanted to establish that and enforce it in his colonies. And it is remarkable how God did some wonderful things to help the Americans beat the British. They should not have done so, but God made the generals of the British stupid so that they didn't, because they, by rights, they should have won easily. God even sent a storm or two at crucial moments. The mystery of God working to restrain the mystery of iniquity, the bondage, and to liberate. Isn't it remarkable to think of these mysterious happenings? God at work. And here, and I know that God was at work, the mystery of godliness. He was talking to men in the Old Testament. And all things were preserved and God's will was preserved. It is amazing. How many of you remember that when Jesus was made flesh and he was a little tiny baby, all right, can anybody tell me what happened when he was about 2 years old and some wise men turned up at Herod's palace? Can you remember what happened? And those wise men said, "We come looking for him that's born King of the Jews." And Herod immediately cottoned on. There's something going, "Oh, tell where, what, and come back and tell me, you know, so that I can come and worship him too." And everybody here knows, don't they, that those that king was going to kill him. Is that right? What did God do? Restrain. The mystery of God was at work. So that, how did God work in the minds and the hearts of those wise men? A dream. And they knew. And they got up and they went home another way. And they never went back to Herod. You see, God was restraining. It's a very wonderful thing. God is restraining. You see, you'll discover this about your own personal affairs. You could have gone headlong into hell. God restrained. Some of you young people, you're being restrained by the prayers of your parents. God is putting a hedge around you and protecting you because your parents have prayed for you and others have prayed for you. You are living a life that's teetering on the edge of getting into the grips of iniquity, most terrible. But God is answering prayer and just preventing the mystery of iniquity from fully absorbing you into itself and you becoming simply an embodiment of a self-serving, wicked young person like so many that you work with are. Oh, this is serious stuff. Of course, I didn't really ought to need to talk to you like this about the mysterious hidden powers that are at work because you are Asians. I should be speaking to people in the West, shouldn't I, who think that everything is twin towers and dollars. You know, and houses, and they don't believe in hidden powers. I mean, the people in Asia, they believe in hidden powers, occult powers, this, that, and the other. We walk round the corner there, and we find that there's a little temple, don't we? And there it is. And I knew from years ago that those things are funny coloured, funny shaped things, but I knew that at back of them, and at back of their priest, there were mysterious powers of iniquity at work in particular ways that bring curses and blessings. temporary blessings. I didn't ought to talk to you like this. But your actions, you should understand. Praise the Lord. The mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness is at work. Isn't it wonderful that there came a day when the Word became flesh? God was manifest in the flesh, and He dwelt among us. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. My brother and sister, when Jesus walked around amongst them, even the ones who were close to Him, they couldn't see the mystery at work within Him. The mystery was hid. They thought He was an ordinary man like them with some uncanny powers. They didn't know that He was God in the flesh. You see, the mystery lay hid in there within Him, and it shone through His flesh just a little bit, but they didn't recognize it. The mystery was there. Am I made? The mystery of what made Jesus tick? What made Him like He is? You see, I'd like to ask you, what was Jesus' secret? What mysterious fellowship went on inside His temple? Inside the temple of His body and the temple of His mind. What mysterious fellowship did He have? Hey, because beloved, you can't live isolated. It's not just you and nothing else. You have fellowship. Your spirit absorbs influence, emphasis, information. You are absorbing. Your spirit cannot simply live isolated. Your inner man is not just some little unit. You are in the midst of a realm in which other spirits, mysterious and unseen, are affecting you. Tell me about Jesus. Oh, Jesus, bring me into your inner man. Tell me what blessed influences were influencing you. Tell me the counsels that you listened to. Tell me who was your first consciousness. Tell me, what were you worshipping? Tell me, what light were you walking in? Tell me, what glory were you enjoying? Tell me, what peace were you living in inside that temple of your being that as you laid your head down to sleep on the hard stone in the houses you lived in? Tell me, as you laid your head down, what were you like inside in your temple? Do you know the answer? What spirit was influencing Jesus in the mystery of His inward man? Tell me His companions. Tell me their names. Tell me their names. His companions in the mystery of His inner man. I'm not talking strange words to you, am I? But tell me. Come on, tell me. Come on, participate with me in what I'm saying. He had two wondrous companions. He laid down His head. And beloved, those two companions, they communicated to Him. They spoke with Him. They were His very blessed friend. Father, Spirit of God, in the mystery of His flesh, there was this dynamic fellowship and friendship beating in Him, illuminating to Him the purpose of His life, telling Him, informing Him, giving Him discernment, so He was able to recognize the old crooked thing there, and the stuff that came out of Peter's mouth was a load of rubbish. On one occasion, when He recognized what was working, why Simon was thinking this way and why this person was said that and why the Pharisees and the Sadducees were going on the way they were going. Beloved, it was because of all the mystery of His life that was going on inside Him. Oh, God was manifested in the flesh. The mystery of godliness, it's great. Beloved, Is there anyone who's godly here? Any godly people in this church? Or are you all worldly people? Ah, you smile at that. But my experience tells me that many churches are filled with worldly people. That their inward fellowship is more with the world and its ways than with God. They hardly give God an opportunity except on a Sunday morning and turn up and give him a little thought. Worldly Christians, but worldly. I have a friend. He has 33 businesses. He must be well into a millionaire in pounds. I've known him for years. He said something transformed his life. A little over 2 years ago, I happened to be passing through his town and I spoke in a meeting and I mentioned about a daily reading scheme of books. He's been a Christian for a long while, but he's never read his Bible, he's never taken any time. And for some reason or other, God spoke to him as I mentioned this thing. And he said, "Will you give me one of those?" And I gave him this Bible reading plan. To read the Bible through every year, once a year, all the way through. And I gave him this plan, and about 18 months later, I happened to see him, and he said to me, "Just reading my Bible every day like that, before I do anything else, it's transformed me." And Hazel and I saw him about 2 weeks ago. He came to our home. He dropped by for a couple of hours. And he reminded me again. He said, "Can I have another one of those Bible? Have you got any more?" And I said, "Oh, yes, of course I've got some more." He said, "Because I've got two people at work that I want to give them to." He said, "I want you to know, it's completely transformed me. Just reading the scriptures, it seems to put everything in perspective. Now, God is working in the mystery of that man's life. He is meeting this person and that person in the course of his business. He's doing this and that. You can imagine what it's like. He's a high flyer and he's touching all these spirits and feeling all this corruption." He was saying to us that he was, a couple of days later, "I'm taking a group of employees and customers into to Spain. We're renting a plane and we're taking about 30 of them. We're taking some golf coaches to help them with their golf." And he says, "The biggest difficulty I have on those things is the way that some of these businessmen just want to go and find the red light places. That's all they want to do." He's fighting that, yet he himself is becoming godly. The mystery of godliness. Becoming in your flesh. God manifest in the flesh. You see, are you godly? Is the mystery of God working within you? Are you fellowshipping in your inner man with the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit? Are you tuned? Are you tuned to him? Are you listening so that in your inner man, this is the mystery of what makes you tick? It's not that you don't enjoy nice things. It's not that you don't enjoy work. It's not that you don't enjoy and that you don't move around in the ordinary things of life. But there's this mystery of godliness working in you. God is manifest in your flesh. And I hope that you know that it's seen of angels. Angels, that's why I wanted to sing that song. I'm standing on holy ground. I know that there are angels all around. angels particularly associate with those who are walking godly. Because their spirits too, and they're God's spirits, and they're about God's business, and they want to go where godly people are, and they want to observe what's happening, and some of them are sent to preserve us. Hazel and I were driving along. I'd taken a wrong path a few months ago, and it was dark, and we were zooming along in our car, and suddenly there's a vehicle and someone is overtaking, and it all happened so quickly. But I knew an angel just seemed to take us to one side so that we avoided a head-on collision with some idiot who was overtaking a truck. Praise God, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness. If you slip over in your Bible, I suppose I'll have to stop soon, but if you go over in your Bible into the Gospel of Luke, all right? The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. And it's so interesting, this. It's verse 20, Luke 17, verse 20. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." That version says is within you. That shows you how difficult it is to translate this. What did Jesus mean? They're saying, when's the kingdom of God coming? Well, we're looking for it externally. Signs here, signs there. Some of you know about what was happening in Lakeland in Florida. You know, people go running after signs. It's here, it's there. Jesus said, don't go running after signs. Don't go running after people who sort of say, it's here, the greatest move. Don't go running after those things. The kingdom of God is here. It's in the midst of you. What did he mean? You see, they didn't recognize him. The kingdom was right there inside him, and he was right there in the midst of them. The kingdom, the glory, the power, the reality was all there inside him. And beloved, the kingdom of God is here. You can't see it. Beloved, the kingdom of God is here. I hope there's something of the kingdom of God here in Gateway. The fact that you are Gateway Church doesn't mean to say that every one of you in Gateway Church is living in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God and church are not identical. The kingdom of God is that life, that power, that reign, that presence, that glory of God's own being. The kingdom of God is here. The reign of God is here. I thank God that the reign of God is in Malaysia. Are you glad for that? The reign of God is in Malaysia. It ought to be particularly in the places that are called churches. They should represent the reign of God. The reign of God should be mysteriously there. And we look around and we walk around among the persons and we say, oh, he's Chinese or she's Indian or he's whatever he is, a hybrid mongrel man. That's what I am. A mixed parentage. It doesn't matter. Oh, but behind, oh, he's an accountant. Oh, he was a businessman and he's retired. Oh, she's a teacher. And this is how we look at things. Beloved, that's only the surface things underneath. Oh, there's the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of God. There's the mystery of the kingdom of God working in him and working in her. Amen. The kingdom of God. God's reigning there. This is the reason why they're becoming godly. Why? The God's being manifest in the flesh. Look at the way You know, I mentioned the other night about two of my friends, and it breaks my heart. They are taking one another to court. To court. About stupid stuff. Stupid stuff. They're taking one another to court. They're both brothers in the Lord. And they're taking one another to court for stupid stuff like this. It's a piece of paper. Means nothing. And they're taking one another to court. They're not being godly. Neither of them seem to want to live in the mystery of the kingdom where they humble themselves before one another. Oh, they're still in the realm of I'm right, and you didn't do that 10 years ago. And he says, well, I did do that, and you've forgotten. And so I'm not going to pay. I tell you what, if the worst comes to the worst, I want to tell you exactly what I'll do. Some kind of independent auditor wants a 3,000 ringgit to start off the process of going through all the auditing and all the rest of it. If the worst comes to us, I'll tell you exactly what I'll do. I'll give him the 3,000. Get going. I tell you, don't know what the church is like. It's worldly, it's self-serving, it stands up, and my rights and so on. Beloved, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is here. It breathes another air. It breathes the Father. It breathes the Son. It breathes the grace of Christ. It breathes the tenderness of God. It breathes His purity. This is the kingdom of God. It's among you. And when Jesus was on the earth, even His precious disciples hardly had a clue. It was hidden. Ah, thank God. I tell you, Church of Jesus Christ. Go to Colossians 2. I've got two more scriptures, then I'll wind up quick. We ought to not have to wind up quick, did we? We ought to just go on and on and on and on. Anyway, Colossians. And everyone knows where Colossians is, don't they? Somewhere in the Bible. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, it says here. Oh, it says the mystery. Verse 26. The mystery. Colossians 1, verse 26. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ among you. That version says in you, my version says in you, but it could be translated among you, Christ among you, the hope of glory. Oh, my brothers and sisters, here's this mystery. You can't see it. I can't see Christ. I'm not being insulting to anyone. Oh, He's under my tie. I can't see Christ. I can't see Christ. Oh, Gateway, you have a leadership team. I'm not exactly sure of all the structures and so on. But you know the great mystery and the beauty of Gateway will be the fact that you come to know Christ among you is the hope of glory. Christ among you, the hope of glory, the person who's in the midst of you, to whom you're to be attentive, to whom your heart is to be quiet. You couples at home, do you pray together? Do you take time? Do you acknowledge that Christ is among you at home? Do you have family devotions in your household? Do you gather your children to pray? to help them to begin to see Christ's among us. We are not an ordinary home. We don't get up in the morning and go out and sort of light a few sticks and go. Oh, everyone has their gods. Well, I have mine and I can't see him and I've never seen him. I've never seen him. I've never seen Jesus. I've had visions and I've had dreams and I've had this and that, but I have never seen Jesus, and neither has anybody else for 2,000 years. So anyone who says to you he's seen Jesus is a liar. He's mistaken. That's the better word to say. You say, what do you mean? Jesus has been for the last 2,000 years there before his Father and has never moved. So in other words, if anybody says to you they saw Jesus at the end of their bed, they didn't see Jesus, they saw a representation. That's all they saw. Jesus has ever been there, immovable. And he's there until the hour that the Father sends him down here. Then the mystery shall be revealed. And the mystery of Christ shall be revealed. And it shall be nakedly open before every creature. Amen. And he shall be seen. And the mystery of the resurrection shall take place. And we shall be raised and we shall be new, and all the hidden things that have been veiled in flesh shall now be glaringly evident. And all this mystery of Christ appearing in his glorious body before all angels and before all the creation shall only happen when the mystery of iniquity, when that old devil, that man of lawlessness is revealed, and he's going to come out into the open. Oh, and he's going to seek to stamp on God. He's going to seek to stamp on the church. He's going to seek to stamp on every form of religion. He's going to make out that he has got the mystery of iniquity is going to be revealed. He's going to take its cloak off. It's going to come out into the open. But at the moment, we live in the day when the mystery of Christ is amongst us. Here he is amongst you. This is the secret. This is your hope of glory. You've got no hope of glory, Gateway, of being a glorious church. You've got no hope except Christ among you. He's your hope of glory. He's your hope of glory. He's made unto you wisdom. Are you in a sticky situation, you married couples? You're wondering what to do in the present economic climate. You know, we've got all this jargon and the present economic, we need to be wise in prayer. Well, I tell you what. Christ in you is the hope of glory in your household. You better accord him the honour. Next time you sit down on a meal together, say, oh, Lord Jesus, you're among us. You know, have any of you seen that sign that says, Christ is the head of this house? I always think it's a little bit spiritistic, but I know what people mean. You know, Christ is the head of this house. You know, he's the unseen guest at every meal. And so I know what it means. But I tell you, it's not just sort of having it as hocus pocus up there. You know, it's not magic. Hocus pocus. Have you heard of hocus pocus? Yes. Yes. Hoc est pios. It's Latin. Comes from Latin, hoc est, that when the priest in the Roman Catholic Church used to take a piece of bread, he said, hoc est pius, something or other. It means now I've just turned it into the real body of Jesus. And this was, and that's what became the hocus pocus. All right, so I know you've learned something. Just a bit of hocus pocus. There's no trickery like that, no mystery of turning the bit of bread into. This is actually nothing like that. The mystery of Christ is in you. Christ is among you. Christ is your treasure. Christ is your wisdom. Christ is your freshness. This is my secret. This is what I've come to know. I get up in the morning feeling half dead. Do you? I can hardly remember the last time I had a good night's sleep. Years ago, when I woke up refreshed, but I tell you, I have a fountain, Christ in me, the hope of glory, Christ in me, helping to straighten out my muddled old mind, Christ among you, to help you through the present distresses, whatever they might be in your business life, in your studies. I think, oh, I tell you, when I was a young boy taking my exams, this is a little story, it comes to my mind. I used to take my exams, and some of you, I'm sorry to say this, but I used to hear voices. I used to hear voices. I had trouble from wicked spirits. And these voices, and they used to specially come to me when I was under pressure, taking an exam, and I'd sit there in the exam room, and these voices would talk to me, and they would go on and on and on at me. You've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do the other. I remember them so. They terrified me. And I would sit there frozen in the exam room, these voices. And I knew a little bit of the Lord in those days, in my teenage years. And somehow I just tried to get hold of myself. Oh, Jesus, you're over it all. I don't know how I prayed, but somehow I found relief from this driving madness of these voices. And I got through my exams, my theological degree. Well, I failed that because it was called a matriculation. And that means that you, if you fail one paper, you've failed a lot. You've got to retake everything. That's how it was in those days. And I failed one. On comparative religion, if you're interested to know. So I failed a lot. But it doesn't matter. But the fact of the matter is, Christ in and among you, this is the mystery. And I can't see it. Is he under the chair? No. He's here. I'm standing on holy ground. He's here. Holy ground isn't this building. I go into holy ground when I go to Makoda later in the day. When I go have a meal with someone, holy ground. The mystery of Christ. And oh, wonder of wonders, isn't it? One day, last scripture, I promise this to you. So, last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What a wonderful chapter this is. And it says this. Oh, verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. I'm looking around at you. Oh, don't you need it? Oh dear. You say, so, oh, well, I'm a very beautiful young woman. No, you still need changing. Ah, praise God. Some of us try and keep ourselves looking nice, don't we? Grow our hair long. What did I hear about some of the late, these cool pastors we've got nowadays, you see? And they've got the sort of peroxide line across their hair like this and two or three earrings. I'm cool and identifying with people. You know, I've never had any problem identifying with anybody. I'll tell you a secret of identification, shall I? What Joshua started us off with. Go and love them. Go and love them. Go and befriend them. Go and take an interest in them. Go. Live like that. Don't try and be cool. Go and love. Go and befriend. Go and befriend your neighbor. You say, they won't let me do much. Do what you can. And it'll be a little bit of an entrance. And a little bit more. And those of you who are at college, befriend.
Show an interest. Sit, listen. Listen more than talk. Stop sprouting a lot of Christian jargon at them. Listen, try and enter where they are. Go and sit with them. Don't go sinning with them, but go sit with them. Jesus went and sat with them. He ate with them. He didn't enter into their filthy talk. He sat there with them. And they knew that he was their friend. It was an uncanny reality that of the mystery of the kingdom somehow beginning to break them down. This is where it really is all at. We shall all be changed. I'm telling you this mystery. Oh, the mystery. Hallelujah. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. What a mystery. Oh, and everything's going to be revealed. Wow. You know, how many of you have ever seen a tree? How many of you have really seen a tree? Well, I can see a tree. You know. You'll see a tree. You'll see the mystery of a tree. You will see the mystery of the way of the way all of it is growing. You will see it in that day because your eyes will be changed and you will see trees and you will see right into stones. You will see right into trees and you will see right into angels and you will see right into one another. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will see right in. You won't just see the surface. All at the moment you do is see the surface of a tree. But you'll see all its growth rings. You'll see the mystery of its workings. You shall see as God sees. Your eyes shall be like unto his eyes. God looks upon everything. Oh, beloved, you'll look upon one another and see the mystery of one another's beauty. That's what it'll be. You will have new eyes. You will have new body in every one of its powers. Then shall we know, even as we are known. There will be no more veils. Oh, beloved, you just think of the earth is going to be changed. And we shall see it. And we shall see all of its beauties. And we shall see the wonder of how God made it. And how God holds it. And how God keeps it. Won't it be incredible? We shall see the angels going, psh, 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 you know, doing the bidding of the Lord. We shall see them. Glory, has anybody here seen angels? Maybe I have. But I wouldn't tell you if I had. Some of them are very, very large. They're exceeding in power. Has anybody here seen the wicked powers of demons working? We don't want to talk about them anymore. I want to finish in all this wonderful mystery. I tell you a mystery, we shan't all sleep. I mean, I'm getting a little bit older now. The nearer I get toward the end, the more I look forward to this, the resurrection. I'm not looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to the resurrection. When all things will be made new, everything's going to be made new. There's going to be cities there. There's going to be nations there. Oh, hallelujah. There's going to be Koreans there. There's going to be Chinese there. And there's going to be English there. I don't know how he's going to do it. But I do know this, that they won't be at one another's throats then. All the beautiful variety that was intended by different nationalities shall be manifested in all their richnesses. Ah. I think I'm telling you a Narnia story, aren't I? My name's C.S. Lewis. No, it's not. I'm telling you the truth from the Bible. And when the mystery of Christ is revealed and he comes in his glorious body, he's going to go... and he's just going to destroy the mystery of iniquity with the breath of his mouth. We read it in the first scripture. and with the word of his power, begone into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Now this is the mystery where we're living. I reckon that the next time I look at Samuel, you see, which I'm doing now, and by the way, he won't be Pastor Samuel in the glory. Amen. That's temporary. I tell you, the next time I look at Samuel, I should see beyond. I should see Christ in him, handle with care. I should see he's going to be glorious. What's he going to be? Eh? A mystery. He's going to be raised. Maybe Samuel will pass away before Jesus comes again. If that happens, you know what's going to happen to his body, don't you? So let's be specific. Like that happened to yours. All right? The old worms are going to get it. They're busy. The worms are going to get it. But I tell you, our Lord Jesus knows everything about his body. And it doesn't matter whether the worms get it. By some mysterious wonder, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when Jesus comes again, all the molecules of Samuel's body shall go woof and be changed, and he shall raise. And so will I. Yes. Oh, the resurrection. What a mystery. You can touch Jesus' resurrection body. We'll be able to touch one another's. We'll be able to touch the trees. We'll be able to walk and, oh, I make everything new, Jesus says. All right, I've stopped. It's noon. Finish time. Praise the Lord. What shall we do? You say, well, I want to go home. I want to eat food. Well, I want to preach for another 2 hours. I believe God wants you to say yes to your truth, Lord. Yes to what you've said to me. Yes to you. I believe he wants you to say it. Yes. Yes. Have you ever watched some sport? I'm sure you have, and something goes right, and then someone says, yes! Have you seen that? Yes! We've got to be like that with the Lord's truth and his ways and his... Yes! Now I know that some of us are very restrained Chinese, and, you know, but I sometimes you've got to, yes! Yes, Lord. I believe you. Glory. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Yes. You're in me, Lord Jesus, and I thank you. I thank you that you're in the church. I thank you that you're in. I thank you that you're restraining the powers of iniquity. And I thank you that though the mystery of iniquity is already working and is going to manifest even worse, I thank you that not without your restraining power, you're going to be there all every step of the way, working out your will and way. And we thank you that one day you who are not seen now shall be seen in all your wondrous glory. And so shall we. Lord, we praise you for your wonderful reality. Hallelujah. I don't know if anyone here wants to respond to the Lord. It is always good that if God has shown you something, it is good for you to somehow acknowledge that and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So I invite you to do that. I've seen, Lord, and I say yes to you and to your truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, Lord. You tell him that. I agree with you, Lord. I agree with your truth. Behold, through Christ in you, you can be a transformed woman. Behold, through Christ in you, you can come to become a very glorious man that's clean through and through. Through Christ in you, your family can be a well-ordered family. Where there's been chaos, because the mystery of iniquity has been having room to work, the mystery of Christ working in you shall put that to rights. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. We praise you for your truth. We praise you for its liberty. We praise you for its reality. We praise you that, Lord, it is no lie, and we embrace your truth. I am certain that God wants to embrace everyone in this room. He wants to embrace everyone. Praise the Lord. Yes. If there's anyone who wants to come and stand by me out the front here so that I can put my arms round you and just pray with you, please come. If you want to come, I know God has spoken to some in the room about your family, about your life, about what's happening. But you just come now. I invite you. If anyone wants that sort of fellowship with me, in the truth. Don't hold back anyone. I want to give the opportunity for you to come and stand and say, Amen, Lord, to your truth. Amen to what you've said to me. Hallelujah. That's right. You just come, anyone. Just come. Praise your name, Father. Lord God. We thank you that you have precious things for us all, Lord. We thank you that Christ in us is the hope of glory. We thank you for this mystery of Christ that working within us even now. Lord, that no other spirit to work in anyone. We renounce every other spirit, Lord. Yes, that's right. We renounce every other spirit. Glorious Lord Jesus. Glorious Lord Jesus. Yes. See if our yes, okay. Our Father, we pray for each one who stands here this morning before your face. Christ in each one of them, the hope of glory. Now, Lord, this morning we renounce every other spirit. We renounce everything from the past. We renounce every mysterious working of iniquity, and we proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ over these families, over these households. We proclaim your Lordship, Lord Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery of your graciousness, Lord, shall work in each one, Lord. Hallelujah. My young sister, Lord, Christ in you, Eunice, hope of glory, Christ in you, making you strong through the grace that he supplies, making you wise through the grace that he supplies. Christ in you. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Dear Lord, you deal very wonderfully with us, Lord. Jesus. No more darkness, only light. No more iniquity, only righteousness. No more confusion or rebellion of any kind. But the spirit of obedience be upon you through Christ within you. The spirit of obedience be yours. Sia Yesu ke fiera tiko simba fiera sisi. For the Lord has mapped out purpose and plan, and you are not to trouble yourself in any undue way, for the Lord has the steps and he'll make you to know them. And you shall find the Lord gives you that which is joined to you. It fits. You will find that you are made for it, and it is made for you. He is the Lord of your future. And along the way, you shall be a tree. And you shall have branches. And you shall give shade, and you shall be fruitful. And you shall be known as a child of God, a child of obedience, who walks in his path and in his way. You receive the Spirit that works within you. You be filled with the Holy Spirit. You be filled with him. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lord, we worship and adore you. Take this, your vessel, Lord, and let her know more of your inward fellowship than she ever has done. Lord, make her a counselor, one full of growing understanding, a blessing in her household. Dear, dear Lord, a comfort to those around her. And bring forth from her of your wisdom, we pray, that she shall bring wisdom and comfort and freedom, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ, the mystery who makes all things new. I pray, my sister, shall know more of the newnesses that your presence brings, that she shall know your newnesses in her trials, that she shall know your newnesses, Lord Jesus. You are the new man, and you make us new, and you give us new perspectives, and you give us new strength, and you give us new counsel, and you give us new ability to be sustained, Lord, oh God.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, making all things new. Glory, glory, glory. Behold, I make all things new. And I shall break through the unbreakable, says the Lord. I shall tear down the high walls that have been so high they seem to be unable to be scaled. I shall break down the barriers that have been erected. I shall speak and blow with the breath of my mouth against the lies of the devil, and where they have been, I shall cause them to be blown away. I shall burn them up, and I shall do new things in your household. By the breath of my mouth, I shall do it. I shall cause the idols to fall. I shall do these things. For it is in my interests and for my glory. And patience does have its perfect work. So hold steady and trust in me. And you shall see the great constructions that have been raised up against me. You shall see the walls pulled down. And access shall be made for grace to come in where grace has not had room or opportunity to come. Thank you, Father. Blessed, blessed Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, it's said, Lord, in your word that you reveal your secrets of your covenant to those who are quiet in heart and who humble themselves before you. You don't keep them in the dark, and I pray that you will give to my sister, Lord, a heart that sits at your feet, that she shall move into a new era in her life where she is sitting at your feet and your counsels are coming, and she knows that she's being fed by you, and she will have bread in her hands to give to others. I do bless her, and I do thank you for her. Yes. For this is indeed the will of the Lord, that you should move like occurs in the growth of a tree, where the blossom bursts and gives way to the emergence of the fruit. So you are in just such a time where one era, one time is giving way to another. So be in the hand of the Lord, be in the hand of the Lord. So the changes shall come, and the blossom shall give way to fruit. This is the way of the Lord, for things cannot stay as they always have been. One must give way to the other. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Father. Dear Jesus, Lord, we call on you, we pray. Oh, Father, what can we say, Lord, in this household? We pray for you in the midst of them as they've never known before. Lord, dwell in the house because you dwell in the heart. I pray, Father, that you will firm up your counsels. I pray for muscle, Lord, spiritual muscle. I pray that from this morning there will be a shift through into a new phase, a new, Lord, you know what I mean. Lord, Isfiateo kienes vipsika Jesu. ibrano te al cingo svetsi, shirap singaro te al di osi sventanos, ishvika pietu ti svila un bratsu, mira stvenda. I break the power of things from long ago that made a ceiling beyond which you haven't been able to rise. I break the power of those things, and that your spirit should rise beyond that ceiling and it should be broken. I come against it in Jesus' name and proclaim a breaking of that ceiling so that you pass on right through and can rise higher and be more liberated and have fuller expression of the counsels of the Lord, and the anointing of His Spirit from within you should rise with a new level of potency and of grace. I proclaim this in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let that come, Lord, from this moment. Hallelujah. And my young brother, how good it is, Lord, to give thanks unto the Lord. Spirit of God, fill this young man. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to His Spirit. Give yourself to His counsels. Give yourself unreservedly and say, God, I am yours, your Spirit. I want to be my teacher. Give yourself without reserve and without fear. He shall not mishandle you, but He shall carry you through and bear you through many things. Don't be afraid. You be filled with the Spirit of God now. You receive very deeply. Receive the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues. Let the gifts begin to emerge in you. Lord, Lord, that's right, Lord.
Lord, I try. Lord, I try.
Yes.
To speak in tongues, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah, just begin. That's right. Kibranos ketera svidiantokara. Mis vedaki svedesa kuribana singo yesu ki fera tan liberali karayara sidera gida bichindu krare sidera matisira. Let it all flow, let it all flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that's right. Let your heart go unto Him in worship and praise. Hallelujah. Yes, ki brabanin dari kore minari mi kari sfera le so ki shved singara piera tu si shved sando pera madika. Hallelujah. 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 Every day, you talk to Him in tongues like that. Every day, take 5 minutes and talk to Him in tongues. Just let your heart go and know that He hears and He understands, and give Him the worship. That's right. You carry on every day. Hallelujah. Bless you. What's your name?
Elaine.
Elaine.
Yes.
Lord. Lord. You know how she needs to be settled, Lord, in your truth. The questions that confuse the mind, I pray that you will systematically